There is great danger in always looking for the easy place, for the cozy corner, for the comfortable circumstance or position.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The 23rd Psalm. It's a very rich resource of information and insight for God's people. There are really three parts to the Psalm as I see it. The development of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. The commencing of this relationship is in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David speaks of a personal union with the Lord. That's the commencing relationship, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then there's a continuing relationship, and that's defined in verses 2 to 5. David could say, "I shall not want, nothing I shall want," literally in the Hebrew order, "nothing I shall want." It's emphatic. Everything that I need is provided for me through this vital union with my shepherd. And then he very precisely unfolds what he does not have any need of. "I have no need for, or no want of," he says, "rest." He makes me to lie down. "Or of refreshment," he leads me beside the still waters. "Or of restoration," he restoreth my soul. "Or of regulation," he leadeth me in paths of righteousness. I know the way in which I had to walk, the righteous paths in which I had to walk. "Or of refuge," "yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I have refuge, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Or resources, "in the most difficult of circumstances, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." And then verse 6 provides for us a consummating relationship, a commencing relationship, verse 1, a continuing relationship, verses 2 to 5. In verse 6, a consummating relationship, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 23. Every one of us needs to make certain that we have entered into a shepherd-sheep relationship with the Lord. And then we can expect to capitalize on the benefits of that relationship as they're identified here in Psalm 23. And as I look at that phrase, there are three concepts that stand out to me with respect to this issue of restoration. "I shall not want for restoration. He restoreth my soul." Now, I don't know what you see in that phrase, but there are three things that I see. The first thing I see is the source of restoration. He restoreth my soul. And that's a reference to the Good Shepherd. That's a reference to the Lord. And that's the only place where I can expect to find any kind of meaningful restoration to life. He, a personal union with an individual, with God, the great intoxicating prospect of the Christian faith is that we are brought into a personal, vital union with Jesus Christ, with God Himself, and that God actually takes up residence within us. We have a personal union with a personal God. And that's the implication of that phrase, "He restoreth my soul." The second thing that I see in that phrase, beyond the source of restoration, is the scope or the substance of it. And it comes from analyzing that word "restoreth" and thinking through the implications of it. And there are many implications that could be drawn from that. We'll look at only two. David says, "He restoreth," shuv is the Old Testament Hebrew root there, the Old Testament verb. And as I study that word, and as I study the concept in the context of the Old Testament and the Psalms, I think there's a twofold implication of that word. Let me share it with you as quickly as I can. The first thing that comes to my mind is a casualty. The very term restoration implies a casualty. David kind of makes reference to this concept in Psalm 42 and verse 11. I'll read it to you. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And I want you to get a connection here. Those two ideas go together. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Psalm 42, 11. "And he restoreth my soul." Psalm 23, verse 3. The figure being cast down is an exact parallel in the shepherd's care of his flock of sheep. Every shepherd knows what a cast sheep is. You ever heard of a cast sheep? A cast sheep is a sheep that has somehow rolled over on its back, lost its sense of equilibrium, and is forced to remain there with its feet and legs extended, being quite incapable of righting itself. It's rolled over on its back and cannot get up, cannot right itself. That's a very delicate position, and it's a very dangerous position to be in. We have a casualty. We have a sheep in a delicate, dangerous, and perilous circumstance. And what he needs is restoration, and only the shepherd can provide that. But I want to go a step further. I want to analyze with you for just a moment, right out of the flock of sheep, three causes for becoming a cast sheep. These are the ideas that I believe are inherent in this word restoreth. What are the causes for which a sheep becomes cast? I think there are three causes. They come right out of the study of the shepherd and his care of the flock of the sheep. And every one of them has a very relevant spiritual parallel. Think them through with me for just a moment. Why does a sheep become literally cast? And are there any spiritual parallels? And there definitely are. Here are three causes for becoming a cast sheep. One, let me give them to you. One, complacence, looking for a comfortable spot in which to lie down. Two, encumbrance, a fleece that is too heavily matted with corruption. And three, affluence. Do you know which sheep are most liable to becoming cast sheep? Fat sheep. Affluence. Now, every one of those has a spiritual parallel. Complacence, encumbrance, affluence. Looking for comfort, not willing to be rid of corruption, hungry for capital. Every one of those has a spiritual parallel in our lives. Let's look at them for just a moment. First of all, complacence. That's one of the reasons a sheep becomes cast. He's looking for a comfortable place. The sheep have a tendency to search out a soft place in which to lie down. A comfortable, soft, rounded out hollow or depression in the ground. In fact, they push one another around in order to get those places. In such a place, they are susceptible to being cast, losing their equilibrium, rolling over into this rounded out hollow or depression, and becoming cast sheep. Now, you know, there's a spiritual parallel there. More than one Christian has brought himself into a pathetic circumstance, and that's what it means to be a cast sheep. It's a very embarrassing, delicate, perilous, and dangerous, and pathetic circumstance in which to find ourselves. More than one Christian has brought himself into a pathetic circumstance by his complacency. We become very complacent, very lazy. Man is as lazy as he dares to be, said Emerson. Slothfulness and his softness. There is great danger. I believe this is the principle at stake here. There is great danger in always looking for the easy place, for the cozy corner, for the comfortable circumstance or position where there is no hardship, no need for endurance, no demand upon self-discipline. People are always running away from the difficult places so that they can find an easier place in which to live out their Christian lives. We're not told that we should run away to some place where it is easier to live for Jesus Christ. We're told to live for Jesus Christ right where we are and expect that He'll help us to do it. We're not to become complacent, easygoing. It's in such a place that our spiritual equilibrium and our spiritual power are likely to be lost. God is the great deliverer of His people. But the deliverance which God gives to us is not a deliverance of escape, but of conquest. In other words, our salvation is not a deliverance which saves a man from trouble, but one which brings that man triumphantly through trouble. It does not make his life easy. It makes his life great. It's not part of the Christian hope to look for a life in which a man is saved from all trouble and distress. The Christian hope is that a man in Christ can endure any kind of trouble and distress and remain erect all through it and come out to glory on the other side. That's the kind of deliverance we have in the Lord Jesus. And if we're always busy about looking for an easy place, and there's that sense of complacency and laziness and slothfulness attaching itself to our Christian experience, and if we're always running away from the difficulties and looking for ease and comfort, we can expect that in that circumstance, we will become cast sheep. Jesus would say to us, if you suffer from moral anemia, if you wish for a life of easygoing self-indulgence, then take my advice, whatever you do, steer clear of the Christian experience. But if you want a life of self-discovery, if you want a life of adventure and service and overwhelming gratitude and meaning and fulfillment, then I would urge you to yield your life without reserve. That means hold nothing back, and without delay, do it right now to Jesus Christ. And he will fill your life with meaning, such as you've never known before. There's a second reason a sheep becomes cast and therefore needs to be restored. Not only complacency or complacence, but also encumbrance. Not only because of his pursuit of comfort and ease, but also because of the corruption that is attached to his anatomy. An encumbrance is that which holds him back, which burdens him down. Occasionally, this is what will happen. Occasionally, the sheep will develop too heavy a fleece. It will become long, and it will become heavily matted with mud, quite frankly, with manure, burrs, and other debris. In such a condition, the sheep is again easily susceptible to becoming cast or overthrown. There's an unbelievable amount of additional weight attached to his fleece. It's corruptive attachment. The only solution for the shepherd is to shear the sheep. And that is a procedure which is most unwelcome by the sheep and requires a good deal of effort on the part of the shepherd, but it is essential to the sheep's well-being. Now, there's a spiritual parallel here, my friends. There are some burdens, some weights, some encumbrances, some corruptive elements that sometimes come to characterize our lives that render us spiritually ineffective, so that we become spiritually cast sheep. More than one Christian has lost his spiritual vitality and his power as a result of his unwillingness to let go of the refuse, the garbage of the old way of life. When you and I became Christians, when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we said no to the old way of life, and we said yes to the Son of God. We said we reject the old values and the old contaminating alliances and the old pollutants. Those are the things that lead a man to hell. We say no to those things. We receive Christ and the purity and the cleanliness that only he can give to a man. We set those things aside. So the author of Hebrews can say, let us lay aside every weight. You could translate it encumbrance. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. In other words, no man would seek to climb Mount Everest with a truckload of lumber weighing upon his back. If we would travel far and effective and efficiently, we must travel light. It means that in life there is an essential duty of discarding things, being rid of the ugly things. There may be habits in our lives that are displeasing to God. There may be pleasures or self-indulgences. There may be associations which hold us back from our spiritual potential, that weigh us down and make us susceptible to becoming cast sheep. We must be prepared to shed them, just like the athlete sheds his tracksuit when he goes to the starting mark. And to do so, we'll need the help of Jesus Christ, and he's here to give it to us.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.